You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome into a Monday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here with David Ramil. We've got a lot to get to on this Monday show. The Heat falling apart during their playoff run. We'll pick the games for the last week of the season. But let's start with the news that the Heat have waived Rodney Magruder in a move that will help them get under the luxury tax. So I guess it was necessary, David, but man, that was really cold for a guy who has routinely been kind of propped up as this embodiment now of Heat culture. Work to get his conditioning in place, work to get any amount of playing time that he could, and had a really good start of the season, fell off since then. And I'm sure it was a tough move for the Heat to do that, but it seemed like it was a necessary one, again, to duck the luxury tax.
I don't buy it. I think it's unnecessary. Again, we've talked about this before. They prop up the luxury tax as this kind of insurmountable barrier, and I guess if you look at the business of basketball as just that, then it makes sense. But again, we've talked about this before. I don't feel bad about Mickey Arison, self-made billionaire. I'm sorry, not even a self-made billionaire. Billionaire who's inherited his money from his father, losing some additional money as a result of paying Roddy Magruder, who has worked his way up from, you know, the main Red Claws.
Right.
And after being cut, we had Michael Pina, formerly of Vice Sports, here to talk about that journey and playing in Hungary and through his faith and dedication and having his girlfriend tell him, no, you're committed to this. Keep working hard. For him to get to this point after this devastating injury last season where in which he played only 18 games, to work his way back to, again, as you pointed out, a really top quality starter earlier in the season. To cut him like this just so that Mickey Arison could avoid paying some money that he won't recoup because this team isn't, you know, ideally good enough to make the playoffs and won't make that money back by selling some extra Dwayne Wade jerseys. I mean, it's beyond cold. And to me, I think it's the kind of move that breaks a locker room for a team that wants to preach as publicly as Miami does about culture, about the family incentives and everything else, and about playing for each other. If anything, look, Michael told us specifically how, and we've seen it in person, we've seen how Rodney is respected and admired by his peers because he's so tireless, because he might not be the most talented player out there, but he's worked hard to get to this point. And he's beloved, he's appreciated, he's friendly, he gets along with everybody, he gets along with reporters, he gets along with teammates, of course. And he's worked hard to get to this point. All that can't be overstated enough. To be cut like this when you're still not mathematically eliminated from the playoffs in a game in which you needed to play and beat Toronto, and he plays a significant amount of time, I can't even describe the kind of mood. It's not cold. It's thoughtless. It's heartless. It goes against everything this team purports to be. And I think it's sickening, and I think it should be. I think Pat Riley in the front office and Mickey Arison should be blasted publicly for this. I hate going against the organization like this, but at the same time, I just think this is a horrific move, terrible, and one, again, that I think absolutely destroys the locker room culture.
So it does sort of feel like this also is a signal of throwing in the towel in the season, right? They are not mathematically out of it, but they haven't won a game in April. They've lost their last four. They're basically out of it. And I think that after that Toronto game, they realized that and they said, you know what, let's save something. And maybe that is money. And look, I'll say this. It's more than just Mickey Arison saving money, right? There are major roster building implications to being a taxpayer team. If they're not a tax paying team this year, it just unlocks different levels of exceptions. It doesn't put them on notice for the repeater tax, which would really, you know, infringe on their ability to do something with this team and hopefully rebuild it into a contender. But overall, like if we zoom out for a second, all the moves the Heat have made so far this season or in this, the, you know, at the trade deadline, trading Tyler Johnson and Wayne Ellington, and now just cutting Rodney Magruder. And Look, I was saying before that they should have traded Rodney Magruder earlier in the season when he had value.
Right.
Because he wasn't coming back next year. They just, they don't have enough money to bring him back, probably. The chances are that he was gone this summer anyway. So you're just sort of doing that earlier and avoiding the luxury tax in the process. But every move this season hasn't been to improve the team. It's been to avoid the luxury tax. And look, like, credit Andy Ellsberg. He's like, he did his job. And he obviously, and we've heard over and over and over again, no, there is no mandate to get under the luxury tax. Well, that doesn't really sound true, because right. It sounds like there was more of a mandate to get under the luxury tax than to actually get better as a roster. This team didn't get better throughout the season. Like, yeah, you could say, like, there was that initial surge after they traded Tyler and Wayne Ellington, and you know, maybe you could credit a little bit of that to, you know, lessening the glut of guards on the roster and stuff like that.
I don't think
that,
they foresaw that. I don't think they saw that move and said, you know what, this is going to help the
team.
It
wasn't an addition by subtraction thing. It was, let's get rid of some of this money, because Ryan Anderson's contract next year is only guaranteed for like $5 or $6 million. Let's save, you know, $13 million next season. But...
And I'll say, I think some people saw this potential as one that Rodney could sign with a playoff team. Let's clarify, that's not the case.
Right.
If the other side of this is, well, maybe he can latch on to a team where he can kind of impress and continue to work out, that's not going to happen either.
Well, I don't know about that, because, well, first of all, the Heat aren't out of the woods yet at the time of us recording this Sunday night. If Rodney clears waivers and doesn't sign anywhere, then the Heat are on the hook for the rest of his salary. But if he gets picked up off of waivers, that the team that picks him up absorbs the salary responsibility, and that's why Miami would get under the tax, right? So there's a little bit of scuttle that he could be going to the Clippers, who did a similar thing. They released Luke Mbamute, who had a season-ending injury. They released him. They cleared up a roster spot. Yeah, Rodney Magruder couldn't play for the Clippers in the playoffs, but he could latch on. He could sign with them now, and then that team would be able to turn Rodney Magruder into a restricted free agent this summer. Mm-hmm. And so that would be the incentive to pick Rodney Magruder up. And I think that Pat Riley has a wink-wink nut, like deal with either the Clippers or whichever team ends up picking up Rodney Magruder. I think Riley's talked to that team, and he's like, look, I need you to pick this guy off of waivers. Or not saying I need you to do this, but if we released Rodney, would you do that? And I think he has a pretty good idea that that's going to happen.
Maybe. And if that's the case, then I hope that it's been a negotiation that's included Rodney, his agent, that maybe they've all known about this, and maybe he's had enough time to express to his family and his teammates that, look, a move was coming that he knows about, he's comfortable with. And, you know, he could go and Los Angeles and be the next Avery Bradley there for Doc Rivers. I mean, that's something that's a potential option. And if that's the case, I hope it works out for Rodney.
It'll work out for him. He's a good player. Like, he was playing out of position in Miami. He was playing small forward.
He stood to make $12, $15 million a year if the season had ended in December.
Oh, for sure. But that was, I think we all knew that was not going to be sustainable. Like, he was also lights out from 3-point range. And
he was.
But no, he's a good player. Like, he's going to be in the league for a while. And look, he wasn't coming back to Miami anyway. You know, it was the end of the season. It's just the way that it went down is very cold-hearted. And in the midst of this playoff push, right, which they are not mathematically at, that does hurt the locker room. And that absolutely is going to have an impact on the locker room. Not only just this, but again, you get rid of guys like Tyler, you get rid of guys like Wayne Ellington, you're not even bringing back like a draft pick. You know what I mean? Like, at least if you're a player, you could. The players are smart. They get it. If you at least bring back a draft pick, you're like, okay, like, that makes sense. We're rebuilding. Like, I get it. But, like, to bring back nothing and get rid of three beloved guys in that locker room and bring back nothing other than Ryan Anderson, who everybody knows what's going to happen with him this summer, that's it?
Yeah, the optics, at least on the outside, are bad. So, again, the only hope is as far as retaining and keeping that locker room culture somewhat intact, even in the midst of all this losing, is that there has been some kind of agreement and everybody knew was coming, and that it can eventually turn into the best case scenario for Rodney, where he does latch onto a team that's able to extend a contract over the summer and keep his rights, et cetera.
Yeah. The Clippers would be a great fit for him too. I would be really happy for him if he got to play for Doc Rivers on the Clippers. That'd be a really good fit.
It's a great story there. It's still, again, I can't get over it. And maybe, Maybe I was a little caught up in a heated moment, and I'm now thinking back and listening to what you're saying, maybe there was that agreement in place, and I can feel just slightly better, but I can't get past the coldness of what's it's done. You know, it was within, it felt like within an hour or two
of the game,
the
ending.
Loss, yeah. You know, potentially season ending loss there, and then to all of a sudden here, you know, you're in Toronto, you know, recuperating from this loss, and to hear that he gets cut, and you know, people start guessing on Twitter, you know, was he going to stay in Canada? What happens next? I mean, it seems bad. Do they pay for his ticket to get out of there? What happens next for Rodney McGruder? And it's not like he's making the kind of millions where you can just say, well, he's comfortable, he'll figure it out, and he's still got enough money to, you know, to feed his family, et cetera. I mean, that's not the case. He's not making that kind of money. He's not making the extreme superstar levels of money where you can kind of overlook that sort of thing. It's not like what happened with Carmelo Anthony when he was coldly waived by the Houston Rockets either. You know, it's that guy has over $100 million in career earnings. Rodney McGruder doesn't have anywhere close
to
that.
Yeah, Rodney McGruder needs another job, basically. Yeah. And he doesn't want to go back to where he came from. And he wants to stay in the NBA. And look, he'll stay in the NBA. I'm not that worried about it. And look, you were right to kind of put the front office on blast. Like, this is... And again, zoom out. Like, not just the Rodney thing. Yeah, the Rodney thing is kind of cold-blooded. Maybe, yeah, I'm sure they talked to Rodney and said, like, this could happen. Just letting you know. But I'm sure that they, like, had they not lost the last four games, they'd probably just keep Rodney, right? If you're going to be in the playoffs, you need a guy like Rodney McGruder.
In case of injury.
Like, you just need the depth. And so, again, they're waving the towel here. That's it. And so look, the Heat have basically given up on the season, and that's kind of the underlying story here. And on a season that was, you know, I think a lot of people had high hopes coming off of that playoff berth last year, seeing the development of Josh Richardson last season, in the middle of this season, the development of Justice Winslow and even Bam Adebayo a little bit later in the year. Like, there were high hopes for this team. And we were predicting 48 wins. I think you, right? Like, we're in that range. And yeah, they haven't, yeah. They're not even going to be 500. They're going to be they have the second highest payroll in the league. And they're not even going to be 500. They're not going to be in the playoffs. That's insane. Like, this has been an absolute failure from the front office's standpoint. And by the way, this is not an Eric Spoelstra. And you know who I'm talking to. So, all
right. They were 8-2, you know, when we were talking about this. It's funny because I was talking to my wife about the Orlando Magic, who clinched a playoff spot tonight. And, you know, I didn't even foresee this. Like, we had travel plans to go to Miami, not expecting the Magic to make the playoffs. And that changes what I have to do, because now I have to cover the Magic in the playoffs. A couple weeks ago, it seemed like a foregone conclusion that Miami would be in the playoffs. They had finished 8-2. Goran Dragic was coming in off the bench and scoring a million points, and he looked like he would never miss again. And since then, well... it has not gone as well. So, I mean, this is... I don't know if they threw in the towel now or if they just threw in the towel a month ago, but either way, you know, or a couple weeks ago, it does not look good.
Well, we're not throwing it in the towel because we got two more games to pick. It's nice. We got the Guess the Record game coming up next after the break. Wyze is the indoor camera that does it all. Wyze is packed with premium features that allows you to see everything from anywhere for only $20. 1080p, full HD, images so clear that you won't miss a thing. Wyze's mission is to create amazing smart home products that are available and affordable to everyone. Check on your home anytime with the Wyze app live stream. Best of all, Wyze provides free rolling 14-day cloud storage, and without any subscription, nothing is too small for Wyze Cam to watch, because at $20 a camera, you can do anything. Left your kids at home? Watch them destroy your house. For whatever reason you need it, Wyze can make you wiser. And for just $10 more, Wyze Cam Pan gives you 360-degree coverage in under 3 seconds. Life moves fast. Your camera should, too. Patrol your home with Pan Scan. Set the camera's patrol route with up to 4 custom waypoints. Track the action. Wyze Cam Pan automatically detects tags and tracks motion within its field of view. Keeping up with life in real time has never been this easy. Plus, Wyze works with Alexa and is accessible on your mobile phone from anywhere. Go to wyze.com/locked to get the guaranteed lowest price. That's wyze.com, wyze/locked. All right, time to play the game that we do for the last time this season. A game that you've already decided that you're tanking for some reason.
Yes.
I don't really know why we're doing it right now, but it's a habit, so we're going to do it. So to recap last week, we didn't pick the Raptors game. That was an oversight on our part. We didn't pick it on the podcast, but you and I both figured it was going to be a loss. It was a loss. But so the week started at Boston. We both predicted it as a loss. It was a loss. We thought that they would bounce back on that second home-and-home and win against the Celtics Wednesday night in Miami.
Yes. Yep.
They ended up losing that game. We both had it as a win in Minnesota, thinking, like, Karl Anthony Towns is really good, but, like, not everybody else is really good. And the Heat lost that game, too. And then they ended up losing in Toronto on Sunday. So that's where we're at right now. That still gives me the +2 advantage on the season. I've already won this game. I don't know what I win, but I've already won this game of the year. But let's just spin this thing forward. The Heat play Philadelphia Tuesday night, Dwayne Wade's final home game in American Airlines Arena. And then they play Brooklyn on the second night of a back-to-back Wednesday night to close out the year in a game that could have been a wild card or a playoff play-in. It's still not out of the realm of possibility that he can win both of these games and get into the playoffs. There's a way for that to happen, but we don't think that that's going to happen. But how do you see the game Tuesday playing out against Philadelphia?
I'm the mindset that when Miami starts to see these kind of celebratory events like they did for the jersey retirement ceremony for Chris Bosh and things of that sort, that it distracts this team. The Rodney waving, I think, is going to hurt. I don't expect Josh Richardson to be back this season unless they somehow miraculously make the playoffs. So with all these factors, the demoralization of it, the fact that they are banged up, the fact that they are exhausted and drained emotionally, and I think you can't say enough about how that kind of impacts this team's ability to make a push at this point. And then the focus being, as it has been for better or for worse all season, on Dwayne Wade, I predict a pretty big loss.
Ooh.
Against the Philadelphia 76ers. Yeah, I just don't see them mounting any kind of a comeback. Like, you expect him to get a lot of shots, to put up some big empty numbers, to kind of, you know, assuage the local fans there, but at the same time, it's going to be all for naught. I don't think Philadelphia will be playing for anything. I don't think they have anything left to prove by a win or not, but at the same time, I just don't see Miami capable of winning a game. Like, I thought they might have been capable earlier this week or last week. That's not the case anymore. Yeah. I think they're broken.
Yeah, and to your point of Philly not having to play for anything, they're currently two games up on Boston for that 3 seed. They have no chance of catching Toronto at the 2nd seed. So, yeah, by then, you know, Philly could end up possibly resting players. I don't know. That would be, like, the main way that he can win this game is if basically Philly's like, you know what, we're not going to risk anything to Joel Embiid. Let's sit him down, play Jimmy Butler only like 20 minutes, play Ben Simmons only 20 minutes, and then just kind of ride this thing out. That said, I do have this as a win. I think maybe I'm hoping, but I want Dwayne Wade's last game in American Airlines Arena to be a win. So I'm going to go with a win here. That's really my only reason. Philadelphia's a way better team. At Brooklyn, Wednesday night. Yeah,
I think the team's broken, man. Like, I mean, you seem
broken.
I'm a little broken. Yeah, I do actually. you know, thinking back about, I made the mistake of trying to get emotionally invested in this game, and it did not work, and it was a mistake to do so. And you know, there's something about this team. You can speak to the numbers, and they're valid in many ways. But there seems to be something ill-fitting with his team. And that might be on Spoelstra to some extent. He's not fully responsible for the way this team has collapsed towards the end of the year. But there is something there about maybe not having a hole in the locker room just the right way, of not finding the right tools to motivate, of not finding the right players to play at a certain time. I mean, I'm not sure how it could have worked out differently. Like, you could just flatly state, well, maybe the talent level isn't there. But that's also on the coaching staff, not just Spoelstra, to kind of develop them and get them to maximize whatever talent there is there. I don't think this is the least talented group. Like, again, we talked to...
This might be the least talented team in the league. Think about it. So. Like, is there... Like, what team has less talent than the Heat?
How do we rate talent? Like, is it physicality? Is it, like...
How good are the players?
Upside?
Like, it's just...
There are very good players on this roster.
There are a few good players on this roster. I wouldn't say that there's a... I've said this 100 times. There's not a top 40 NBA player on the roster. even like the Magic have Nikola Vucevic. Like, you need something to
is
build
he a
around.
Top 40 player?
Vucevic this year? Yeah, 100%.
This
the way
year.
He's played?
This year. This year.
You could argue the last 2 or 3 years, Vucevic is a top 40 player. This year, he's a top 24 NBA player.
You know that I like Vuce. I talked to him in Charlotte. I wrote about him. I mean, I see him all the time. Yes, Vuce is a fine player.
He's better than anybody that he'd have.
He's playing better because he's on a contract here. I don't know that he's better than anybody.
He was better last year than anybody that he'd had last year.
Ooh, that's a bold statement, and I don't agree. I don't think he was better than Goran Dragic was
last
year. Okay,
maybe they're right about the same then.
Okay.
Washington has more talent. Atlanta has more talent. Chicago, you could argue, probably doesn't have more talent.
Are we really starting to buy into the amazing combination of Trey 3-for-19 Young and John Collins?
Trey Young is a legit Rookie of the Year candidate.
Yes, because he puts up big numbers and empty losses. I mean, sure, okay. I mean, is that what we're looking for?
All right, I will say this. Cleveland is definitely the least talented team in the league. But they at least, like, had Kevin Love not gotten hurt, like, he's obviously better than anybody that he'd have. It's just the thing is that they have a bunch of, like, average to good players, and I almost give Spoelstra more credit because, like, James Johnson was out of the league, you know? And Spoelstra turned him into a thing. Like, whatever locker room culture, whatever we want to give it credit to, got Waiters in shape for 1 year. You know, like, I don't know. I don't want to turn this into a whole, like, Eric Spoelstra thing. I don't know how much we could really, like, I spent an hour this afternoon for some dumb reason after that Toronto loss trying to defend Eric Spoelstra. I don't know what he could have done with this roster. I don't know if there's another, if you put Greg Popovich with this roster, do the Heat make the playoffs? Like, I don't know.
Yes. Because he's proven more than just saying about the culture. Like Spoelstra loves his axioms, you know, about working harder and everything else. Because I think it's reflective of his own personality, his tireless work ethic. Because he's under-talented when he was playing collegiately. Because he works himself up from a video coordinator, etc. But I think Popovich, in practice, does more than Eric Spoelstra does. And that's something that I've seen, you know, and I think we've all seen over the last 4 years, last few years, that he finds a way of incorporating a player that may have been out of the league and finding what they do well and unlocking it in a way that nobody else can. And I don't know that Eric Spoelstra does that as regularly, as frequently, as completely as Greg Popovich does. So yes, I think Pop on this roster in the Eastern Conference, without a doubt.
Okay, is there another coach other than maybe the greatest basketball coach ever? Pop was a bad example on my part. I walked into that.
No. I mean, you're right, though. But
I'm hearing things like Dwayne Casey could have led this team to the playoffs. Like, Dwayne Casey might not lead his team to the playoffs this year. So
right,
I don't want to hear that crap. And I don't think Steve Kerr could have done it either. Everybody's like, oh, Steve Kerr. It's like Steve Kerr has had Steph Curry his entire career.
Yeah Steve Kerr.
I don't know what Steve Kerr does with this roster.
What he does best is manage personalities.
Yes. Spo does that as well. We saw that.
Not as well. But
he does that in addition to all of his other things that Spo does. Spo does that. He doesn't have to really manage personalities. Like, he did
a little bit
this year.
Maybe.
Nate McMillan doesn't bring this Heat team to the playoffs. Like, look,
I mean, Miles Turner and Domantas Sabonis notwithstanding. I mean, Thad Young.
Those are all good players. Bogdanovich, their starting five is head over heels better than Miami's. Yeah.
Ooh.
Bogdanovich is a legitimate
All-NBA candidate. Yeah.
All-NBA candidate. Miles Turner could win Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, he's not going to, but you know what I mean. Like, he's a candidate.
Yes.
Like, he'd have nobody in a conversation for any award at all. Nothing.
I think a lot of it also is injuries kind of knocking the momentum of any individual player on this roster. I mean, this is a conversation that I'm sure we'll have in between April 11th and, you know, the draft.
Yeah.
So you
think they lose the Brooklyn game, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I have it all as a loss, too.
No,
right,
you know what? I could see that as a win just because Brooklyn will be sitting out. Because they've already clinched. And they've got nothing left.
Yeah.
So they're going to be resting D'Lo and everybody else there. And Dwayne Wade, because he's Dwayne Wade, will put up 40 in a meaningless game. I think that's the reality.
Yeah, no. Yeah. And Rohan will be at the game, too. So I'm sure Dwayne Wade will want to show out for his best friend.
Nice.
So I've got them going 1-1, and you've got them going 1-1. But we've got the game swap. Not that it matters, because I've already won the game. Jersey swaps really quick. Philadelphia, Jimmy Butler.
Yes, that makes sense.
Brooklyn, probably nobody. Who's on, like, D'Angelo Russell already got it. I don't see, maybe, like, I don't know. Joe Harris? I don't know.
Rohan Carney.
Rohan gets the jersey in Brooklyn. I like it. All right. Let's wrap it up then with that. Yeah. Thanks for listening. And remember, you can subscribe to the show on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Heat. You can connect with us on Twitter at Locked On Heat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Thanks for spending some time with us today. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
Sure, why not?
Wrap it up, B.